You're listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flueckiger, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to LA Talk Radio, Your Ultimate Life. Glad you're here today. It's going to be kind of fun. So if you can see on the sign behind me, we're going to talk today about the 300 million movement and why it matters and how you can be a part of it. Now, I'm sure you get invited like I do to be a part of a lot of things, and most of them you say, yeah, no, not for me, thanks. So I'm going to tell you what this is about, and I hope this matters to you. I'm inviting you right now to think about what you could do, what you're willing to do to create what I'm about to describe. So this show, along with my other podcast, is dedicated to one idea. It's the idea that you can create a life that you love, and I call it your ultimate life. Now, people use different meanings for the word ultimate, right? The best, the last, the be-all, end-all kind of thing. But the ultimate life for me, as I define it, and you can, of course, use the words you want, but it's a life of purpose, prosperity, and joy, where you have a driving, fiery purpose. And I'm assuming that it's a good one to lift and bless and love and serve. Now, I realize there are some people in the world whose purpose it is to hate and to injure and even to kill. That's sad, and I'm not talking to them unless they want to make a choice to change, to be, you know, seeking a life of purpose, prosperity, and joy. So that's what we're about today. And that's what the 300 million is about. So why would I do this? Why would I have a show focused on your ultimate life? I mean, I could have a show, like many are, where I talk about current events and we bitch and moan about how stupid so-and-so is or isn't. And, you know, today there was a White House visit between, you know, I live in Canada, you know, between Mark Carney, our new newly elected dude, and, you know, President Trump, your newly elected dude. And ours was elected more recently, a couple weeks ago. But, you know, we could talk about that. But you know what? There's a lot of people talking about that. And talk doesn't change much. Now, you can go vote or you can write your member of parliament or your congressman or your senator and maybe get something done. But for the most part, talk doesn't change a lot. So I'm going to talk about doing things because I'm a get stuff done guy. I'm a person that really thrives on execution and making things happen for the good. So I'm all about creating purpose. I'm all about choosing a powerful, uplifting, joyous purpose, something we can work on together. And like we all need to get paid, purpose, prosperity, and joy. Now, I picked those three words for a reason. Purpose is the fire that fuels your heart, fuels your life. Prosperity is what we all want. Money, relationships, you know, health, wealth, that kind of thing. Who doesn't want that? Who doesn't want that ultimate life? Now, if you're living a life that you hate, the first thing you might say is nothing to do, sit on a beach forever. Okay. That might be fun for a day, a week, a month, even a year, but it would get old really quick. And the divine soul in you isn't going to let you sit there and do nothing. So when we're talking about after all that, what is your driving purpose? And I was talking to a guy today, and you know, he didn't really have one, or he didn't think he did. And then we started talking and he realized, you know what? I do. And I had another client today that I was talking to. We were talking about what is the meaning of love and how do you know if you love someone? And those kinds of conversations. And the reason we were talking about it is it's all about, I'm a coach, right? It's all about helping people maximize their life. So if I was working with you, we'd be digging in to everything that's stopping you from having that life of purpose, prosperity, and joy. What's in the way? What is keeping you held back, held down? You know, all the buzzwords. What's causing that? Because there's always a reason. You may not like what it is because most of the stuff that holds us in place, we create. And that is an interesting truth. So anyway, today, the 300 million project, why it matters and how you can be a part of it. So here's what the 300 million is. I have committed this year to reach 300 million people. And that means to address in an audience of some form that many people. And what I'm talking about is this ultimate life. And I'm going to describe it a little more. And I did in the description, if you're looking on Facebook or LinkedIn where we're streaming. Here's what I notice. As I notice the bitterness and anger of people and the frustration and even the violence and, you know, all the stuff that's going on, I see that most people, and I say by far most, are not, you know, owning the right that they have to create their life. And instead, we just sort of cruise from day to day living reactively. We react to what's going on around it. So I've given some names to that kind of characteristic, and I'll describe it to you. And I call it the unholy trinity, right? Because it's so disempowering. Learned helplessness is one of them. Learned helplessness. Now, a baby, when it's born, is actually helpless. You know, it can't walk yet. It can't move very much, can't crawl. So it is actually helpless. And if we don't take care of it or help it, it's going to die. Learned helplessness is a state of where we start to believe and then act like we are helpless when we're not. But we become helpless because we have learned to do that. Now, that learned helplessness can come from a lot of places, habits, examples of others, laziness, all kinds of things. But after a while, we start believing and acting like we are truly helpless. And what goes with that is expecting somebody else to come to the rescue, which is a really dumb place to live, not a very smart place to be. You have control of your own life unless you've given it away. So one of the unholy trinity is learned helplessness. The second one is addiction to mediocrity. Now, if you know my history in the past, I had addiction troubles many years ago. And so I know something about that frame and that feeling and so forth. Addiction to mediocrity is different, but it has the same impact. What it means is that you or I, we settle for far less than we could have. Now, silly example is I'm starving and there's a gigantic table full of food over there and nothing's in the way from me walking over there and getting it. But I'm addicted to my mediocrity. It's all I have is what I have. I'm not going to get any more. I don't deserve any more, whatever the story is. And so we settle. We settle for crumbs. We settle for far less. Now, you may rebel at that idea, and you may say to me, Kellen, you're an idiot. I'm not addicted to mediocrity. I'd go take everything I can get, and I would say directly to your face, no, you don't. No, you don't. No, you're not. Because you and I, we're divine beings, and you and I, we have the right to create miracles, massive, cool things if you want to. Now, it doesn't create itself. Part of the problem is we've sort of learned in this learned helplessness thing that everything should be given to us or nothing should be difficult, right? Everything's got to be downloaded and double-clicked, you know, solvable in just a few minutes or certainly no more than the length of a TV sitcom. Right? Every problem should be able to be solved that way. It shouldn't be hard. Some people even say, well, if it's this hard, it must not be right for me to do. And that's really silly. So learned helplessness, addiction to mediocrity, and the prison of the victim mindset. That's the unholy trinity. Learned helplessness, addiction to mediocrity, and a victim mindset. Victim mindset is, you know, everything happens to me. Why does this always happen to me? It's not fair. You always feel like, act like the victim. Now, you know somebody that does that right this minute. You can think of them and their face just pop before your eyes. How pleasant are they to be around? When you and I know, talking to them, that, you know, they're not having any more bad circumstances than anybody else. And they're not certainly not a victim. Most things where we pretend to be the victim, we're not actually a victim. We could take control of our own lives. So that unholy trinity, learned helplessness, addiction to mediocrity and a victim mindset is the place that we find ourselves stuck. So many people that I talk to, either a little or a lot, and I'm not saying everybody is totally, you know, chained to the floor with all three, but I want you to think about your life right now and identify one or two places where you know right now, if you're honest, you have that thought, that feeling, victim mindset, addiction to mediocrity, which is where you simply allow, it's all I get. Good enough. I'll just settle for this. Or learned helplessness, where you run around acting like, you know, you're helpless. You can't do anything about it. I had no choice. You know, those kinds of languages. And each of those three poison pills have their own characteristic language. Like, you know, somebody's playing the victim or, you know, pretending they're helpless just by the language they use. So I don't like that. I don't like me being there. I don't like others being there. I mean, you have the freedom to be wherever you want. I know that. Nobody can make anybody do anything. But what I notice is people that live in that place are unhappy. I have never met someone that has an addiction to mediocrity, victim mindset, and learned helplessness that's happy. It's saying, my life is great. I'm excited. I can't wait to get up. This is beautiful. No, they're saying the opposite of that. Life sucks. It's their fault. It's the government. It's God. It's the economy. It's my neighbors. It's the boss. And the list goes on and on. So my $300 million is to give a message that helps us understand that we are sovereign. We own our lives and we can create whatever we want. And we're going to go from that place to the power trinity instead of the unholy trinity. And the power trinity, you know what that is? Fierce life ownership. Now, I want you to think of a time right now when you have fiercely stood your ground, where you knew you were right, something was important, maybe you were protecting something or someone, and you fiercely stood your ground because you knew it was right and you were not going to let, you know, something happen that wasn't right. That kind of fierce life ownership creates power. It creates power in you, it creates certainty, and it gives you energy to pursue and complete goals. So moving from that yucky place to fierce life ownership, radical excellence, or a commitment to excellence, which is very unusual. That people settle all the time. Ah, good enough, good enough. Yeah, fine, leave it. What if you chose radical excellence? And the third thing is a yearning or a heart to be of service. Now, I want you to picture somebody you know right now that you've thought of that lives in this place, a little or a lot of victim mindset, learned helplessness, and addiction to mediocrity. Now I want you to picture either them, if you possibly can, or somebody else that you know that's way over on the other side, that has fierce life ownership, that creates their own future, that has a passion for real excellence, and a true yearning to serve. People that live there are happy. They're happy because they know you have control. They have control of their lives. Now, I used to live over here in the victim place with all those other words. Today, I never even visit that place. I don't allow those thinking even strains in my mind. I never live there, not even a little, not even once in a while. And the reason is because it's no fun. So part of the work of this whole personal development space of all the people that are helping, you know, coaches and all the rest of it, is to teach us that we have power to control our lives and that we can live wherever we want to in that spectrum of thinking and feeling and acting. I've done the work over the last many years, and I live over here with a passion for excellence and radical, fierce life ownership and a heart to serve. You know, a commitment to serve everyone I can. I had a whole bunch of calls today, and several of them were people I'd never met before. And it was fun. I get to meet people, and I get to just plain love them. And that is so joyful. So I want you to picture that person, you know, that lives at that negative place. And suddenly they were shifted. And the next time you saw them, and from now on, they owned their life completely. They quit blaming everything. Fierce life ownership, radical commitment to excellence in everything they did, with a heart that's loving and serving. What difference would that make to the people, to that person, how they felt, how they experienced life, and to everybody around them? What difference would that make? Well, you and I both know it would make a radical difference. They would completely have a different view on life. Everything would be 100% radically different. So I want you to think about this. What if we cause that shift in 300 million people? What would that do? Now, you and I both know it would completely change the world. 300 million, I realize there's 8 billion on the planet, but 300 million is absolutely enough to create a movement power, yearning, radical change, and up-leveling of joy, like monstrously. So that's my mission, to not just talk about it, because I have the message, and the message I just gave you, which is you own your life, and you can move away from the victim side to the power side, away from, you know, learned helplessness, addiction to mediocrity and victim mindset, clear over here to radical life ownership, exciting and fierce commitment to excellence with a heart to serve and love. You can do that. Now, that's one thing, is a message to say you can do that. It's quite another, and we hear people stand up or on YouTube or wherever make all kinds of amazing claims and say, oh, you could have this, you could have that, you can have $1 trillion in 5 minutes, you know, sit in your basement, make money while you sleep, that kind of stuff. And so we get jaded, so we don't believe any of that. But this is true. You do create your life. You do create your life. And that is a powerful truth that most will ignore. That is the message, that that's true. The second thing that I have is a method. There's a message, there's a method, and there's mastery. Message is just to wake up and realize you can do that and come to believe. That means you got to get rid of the old beliefs, which say, no way, not you, not here, not now, guy's full of crap, whatever. To get rid of that noise and embrace the message and dig into the method. So there's a message and there is a method and there's mastery. So I want to talk about why I'm doing this, first of all. Why I'm doing this? Because I am tired. I know what it's like to shift from one side to the other. I know how draining, unhappy, miserable. And you know, if you've heard my story, I even got to the point of attempting suicide a couple of times. So I know what that's like to live over there in misery, pain, blaming, and suffering. I also now know with the work I've done what it's like to live over here, and I'm never going anywhere. I love it. I live it every day, no matter what. And when we do that, when you and I, we make a big change of any kind, you know what happens? A desire wakes up in us. And this is universal. I hear this with every person I talk to. Without exception, excuse me, when you discover some big thing and you make some change in your life, a desire wakes up in all of us. We want to share. We want to help. I want to help people. Oh, some people say, end suffering, get rid of pain, help people find the shortcuts to whatever. I was talking to a guy this afternoon. Another guy said he just loves helping people do things faster, better, easier, more completely. He's an accelerator. He accelerates the rate of change. He accelerates growth by eliminating barriers. And sometimes that's in the mind and sometimes that's in the real world. Well, the mind's the real world too. But anyway, so, and I said, well, why? Oh, that just brings me such joy. Now imagine that. Unbelievable joy from helping others. All right. That desire wakes up in every single person that makes this kind of change. So here's what I want you to say. We need, the world right now is full of an endless supply of this negative stuff. Victims, addiction to mediocrity, giving up hope, learned helplessness, there's no way to fix this, that kind of feeling. We're full of that. The world is just overflowing with that. We don't need any more of that, but we need more beacons of light. We need more vessels of love. We need more conduits of power. And you know what? Becoming one of those is a choice. You don't have to win the lottery. You don't have to have anything change in your life except your intent and your commitment. You can get up on any day and go about your day being reactive and, you know, bouncing off of whatever things happen to you. Or you can say to yourself, I'm going to bring joy to each person I meet. I'm going to smile. I'm going to tell them how good they look. I'm going to tell them what good work they did. I'm going to just love them. I don't need their permission. I don't need to ask anything. I'm just going to be kind to everybody because I can. You can do that. Now, it may feel weird and it might be hard because you haven't done it before, but you can. There's no one preventing you from doing that. So I want you to think about that. And that's just a precursor of walking across the bridge from that dark side to the light side. You know, cue the Star Wars music. We need more bright lights. We need more beacons of light, vessels of love, conduits of power. We need more people who have decided of their own free will to be that beacon of light, the invitation to love, to forgiveness, to kindness. We need more of that. Who can argue with that, right? Of course we do. The question for you is, do you want to do that? I've made that commitment. I am that every day, not sometimes, not once in a while. That's how I live. I prepare myself every morning with a powerful process, and I go out into the world to be a beacon of light, vessel of love, and a conduit of power, and I include right now talking to you. I'm giving you this with all the love in my heart. Why? Because I want you to feel happy. I want you to know you have control over your life and you can do something with it. Now, here's the thing. If you want help with that, then there's some places you can go, because it's not just me talking. I've got all kinds of things that I've created for you. So one of them is a website, yourultimatelife.ca. Now I use .ca instead of .com because I'm in Canada, but whatever, yourultimatelife.ca, yourultimatelife.ca. Go there. There's some free stuff, free videos. Five of them, and they're longer. They're not 5 minutes, they're 15 or so minutes apiece, with a lot of detailed and specifics. Not a lot of highfalutin language. There's detailed specifics about how to start where you are and create your ultimate life. So there's a free thing you can have right now. Go get it if you want that. Now, there's another thing. We're just not here in our physical form to just feel good and look out for ourselves. We're actually here to become the best version of ourselves. And, you know, we can't go from where we are to the very best all in one jump. It takes iterations and work. You know that if you've ever played a musical instrument. Learn the piano or learn the trumpet or the violin or the guitar or whatever. You got to practice. And each time you practice for another week, month, year, you're a new version of a guitar player. I read a post from a friend of mine who's a coach, and he is constantly working on himself, his integrity, his honesty, his self-confidence, his coaching ability, his ability to make people love themselves, help people love themselves and to get great results for his clients. And he put a post up there, and he's filling his coaching school right now. And he said, you know, I'm inviting people to the coaching school, and it's going to be different than every other school I've done. And I don't know how many he's done, 5 or 6 or 7 in one a year. Takes several months. And he said, this is going to be different because I'm a different man. I'm a different person. And that's true for you and for me. I want every single person listening right now to understand you are a catalyst in this movement. So I ask you, the movement to 300 million, why it matters and do you want to help? One of the first things we often say is, well, I'm just one person. I can't do anything. And that's nonsense. I have another friend. It was a guy that sponsored the event this weekend in Philadelphia where I just went to speak on Saturday and Friday. I actually spoke twice. His thesis is called The Impact Factor, and his whole premise, everything he's done, he actually made a movie, a full-length feature film called The Impact Factor, is that you make a difference whether you want to or not. Whether you do or don't do something, you matter. You make a difference. And since that's true, and you can pretend it's not, but it is, why wouldn't we try to make a good difference? Why wouldn't we try to add good to the world instead of garbage? Instead of sadness and pain and selfishness and cruelty, why don't we make it our mission to add good to the world? That's your invitation right now. And so even if you affect one person, 2, 5, 10, that matters because that ripple effect goes out. You've heard of the pay it forward movement where somebody pays for somebody else's bridge toll or meal in the restaurant or whatever. And the next person's so shocked, they pay for the next one and it goes on. Somebody's got to start that. Raise your hand. Let that be you. So you are a catalyst. My question is, do you want to do it? Are you willing to do it? Are you willing to live up to your divine potential right now? Now, I'd like you to get a hold of me. If you're interested in being part of this movement, get a hold of me and I'll give you several ways that you can do that. Several ways. Go to KellenFlukigerMedia.com. It's one of these, this URL right here, KellenFlukigerMedia.com, and there's a contact form. So go there and get a hold of me. And let's talk about how you can be a catalyst to help me get to 300 million people. Maybe you have a message and maybe I can help you share it too. All right. So I want to talk for a minute about what learned helplessness is and how it keeps us stuck. Learned helplessness is the idea. It's the invisible cage. It's the idea that we believe this is just how life is. I can't do anything about it. I can't. That's beyond my, over my pay grade. I can't. And so we learn something that's not true. Now, have you ever learned something not true? Boy, I have. Has that ever gotten you in trouble? Yeah. I've stood up and said, no, this is true, to find out the next day, week, or month, wow, I was wrong. That isn't how it works at all. I was just wrong. So I want you to think about learned helplessness. If you live there, that turns into the next one, which is an addiction to mediocrity. You settle. You learn to believe that you can't do anything to fix it, better it, or if you do, it won't make any difference. You learn that lie. And then when you stay there, you become addicted to mediocrity, stuck in the place that you are forever. You don't want that. So here's the challenge for you. Where are you accepting less than you could have? Where are you accepting less from yourself? Where are you allowing yourself to do poorly when you could do an excellent job, when you could do something very well? Are you being a half-baked dad or mom when you could be an excellent one? Are you being a half-baked employee when you could be an outrageous one? You know, sometimes people say, well, they don't appreciate me at work. That might be true, but that doesn't dictate who you are. You are the kind of person you decide. And if you say, well, they don't deserve me, well, then go find another job where they do. But don't live in mediocrity. It is a canker, it is a cancer, and it eats your soul. So here's another invitation. Maybe you are like me and you have a story of overcoming, a story of resilience, a story of growth, a story of discovering you really are living at half power. In the past sometime, and you overcame something, an illness, a death of a loved one, bankruptcy, some financial disaster, whatever. Maybe you've got that experience and you made resilient choices. And you're now feeling that yearning to share and help others. Well, please go to that KellenFlukigerMedia.com and get a hold of me, because I want to share your story of success. I want to share your story of growth. Now, I've got this platform and I've got a podcast platform that's got nearly 1,000 episodes. We're 970 or 80 something. So we're closing in. Ooh, I'm excited. I'd love to have you as a show on the show. I want you to be able to talk about choices you made and the feelings you had and the struggles you chose to overcome. And in that way, you and I together, we can help some more people move across that rainbow from this poison of learned helplessness, addiction to mediocrity, and a victim mindset, and move them over here to fierce life ownership, radical excellence, and a yearning to be of service and love. All right, I'd love you to do that and tell me your story. Now I want to talk about what the power is of fierce life ownership. And I want to talk about what that actually looks like, because I've said all along, it means you can create anything you want. And I literally mean from money in your bank account to happiness in your life to the physical life you want. Now, I have another friend, a person that I know. I have lots of people that I know, and so do you. This person's in their late 60s, and they decided one day they were going to get in rock solid shape. They just decided to do that. And so they did. Over the next several months, they kept going to a gym, and pretty soon, we're talking six-pack, totally ripped. The guy was 66. He just decided to do that. Never done it before. I'm doing that. He took control of his life and did whatever was required. I don't actually know the details. What diet had to change? Obviously, I saw lots of pictures of him in gym on social media, but that was just a choice. Now, you and I, we have the ability to choose. Choose what, you say? Well, I'll tell you what it starts with. There's been some conversation about the Olympics coming up, or the World Cup in 26. Those people who participate in the World Cup, those amazing soccer players or the Olympians, they train like crazy, right? I mean, they do all kinds of work to get in good shape. So if you want to own your life, here's step one. Create yourself every day. Don't just get up and fall into what's ever available today. Don't do that. Don't be reactive. Don't just go to your computer, get on the emails, yell at somebody, write an answer, look at the text, you know, just sort of fall into this reactive mode. Take an hour to yourself and create yourself the way you want to be. If you need help with that, I wrote a book about how to do that called Living with Purpose and Power, and I put 17 years worth of research in that about how to create yourself every day so you are in your Olympic form. No matter what's going on, I don't care if you're going to go be a grocery store clerk, real estate agent, an attorney, or you're going to be a coach like me or whatever. It's a way to prepare to be your very best self, your Olympic form, top of your game, no matter what you're doing. And my question to people that say, well, I don't want to do that. You're free not to. But why would you waste your life? Why would you waste your time, your life being half-baked, rolling into your day half-mast? It's like showing up at work without your pants on. Like you just, like it doesn't even make any sense. So that is an example of fierce life ownership. Listen to your language. I can't do that. That's whining and it's usually not true. I'll try. I should do that. Oh, I should. Throw all that. That's victim speak. I will. I am. Make declarative statements about who you are. When I learned to do that, I created a document called a PTAC, Personal Truth and Commitment Document. If you want to read it, I've never shared it except in here, and I shared it as an example because that book is about how to do things like that to create yourself. But that document gets me right on the middle track, exactly where I want to go every day, all the time, without fail, no exceptions. Boom, done. I love being there on fire, all the way in, all in, every day. There's just no substitute for that. All right. So I want to talk about the next part of the powerful trinity, the power trinity, and that's a radical commitment to excellence. Excellence is not perfection. Being excellent doesn't mean everything turns out perfectly. You can have total commitment to excellence in your workout and still not make the weight you're trying to make today. But you still had excellence. You can have excellence in your activities and things beyond your control, the weather or whatever, someone else's attitude and actions, prevents you or me from getting to a goal. But you had a commitment to excellence. So discipline is nothing more than reminding ourselves what's important. So if I say I'm going to lose weight or go to the gym like my friend did, that requires discipline, and that simply means making a commitment that you keep, reminding yourself what's important. Excellence is the result of consistency and integrity. Now, integrity means things like keeping your word and so forth, but integrity in a building means that it is whole and complete. It is consistent in itself, meaning the building has integrity. It won't fall down. If you are consistent in doing something you're trying to learn and you have the integrity to do it completely and well, you're going to achieve excellence. Let's go back to the gym. If I do certain lifts, legs, arms, doesn't matter, and I cheat, I sway, or I do things that aren't really there, I'm not going to achieve excellence. If, on the other hand, I have full integrity in how I perform the exercise and I'm consistent, then I'm going to get to my goal. Practicing the piano is the same way. If I do exercises every day, if I do them and I cheat and I don't make sure they exercise my fingers, then they waste time. So excellence is just an attitude. It's a decision that you or I take. I'm doing everything in an excellent way because that's who I am. I'm Mr. Excellent. You're Mr. Excellent or Ms. Excellent. And now I talked a little bit about creating yourself every day, and that's the most important thing that we do. I mean, you're going to do the rest of the stuff you have to do today anyway. If you do it from a place of integrity, power, calmness, you know, and the morning ritual can be whatever makes you feel that way. Me, I meditate, pray, I exercise. You know, I do several things. I use the acronym SPEM, spiritual, physical, emotional, mental. But whatever you do, does it really light you up so that you're on fire? If it doesn't, you're showing up half-baked. And why would you do that to yourself? Why would you do that to your day? Why would you do that to your clients? Why would you do that to your kids or your spouse? Not prepare yourself. So I'm not going to tell you what you need to do to prepare yourself. But if you don't take some time to get yourself in good emotional and spiritual and physical, you know, shape in the morning, then we're giving the world and all those that we meet half-baked juice, right? Why would we do that? That's not the road to the excellence, right? Okay, so here's your question. Where are you tolerating mediocrity? Answer it. Write it down. Where are you tolerating mediocrity? And isn't it time to have a commitment to radical excellence? And say right now, I will no longer tolerate mediocrity in that thing. Just make a little change. I'm not saying you have to wipe the whole thing out all at once. That's kind of tough. But say one, I will no longer tolerate mediocrity in, and then fill in that blank. Okay? The next thing I want to talk about is awakening the yearning that we have to serve. When we are struggling and we are, you know, barely in survival mode, you don't have enough money to pay rent or get food or something, and something terrible has happened and you're in struggle mode, it's difficult to think about serving others because it's like, yeah, who's going to take care of me? I'm not going to have food or my kids or whatever. But you know what I notice? Those who choose to serve, that means to help, to lift, to bless, to encourage, to be there for others, have more power. There's something that happens in us. Now, in the body, you know what that is. If you've ever gone on a community service project or helped in a food kitchen or helped build a Habitat for Humanity or been on a cleanup thing on a mile of road or any of those things, there's a camaraderie and a feeling and a joy that comes from that. No denying it. You feel good. Abraham Lincoln said, when I do good, I feel good. When I do bad, I feel good. Feel bad, I mean. That's because we get a blast of neurotransmitters, oxytocin, serotonin, and anandamide, which are positive, joyful things. They call anandamide the bliss molecule. Anyway, you get that when you do good. So that ought to tell us something. It tells us we're built to love and serve each other. Our spirit, that energy that's inside of us, that's not the body, that has some kind of similar things. I don't know what those neurotransmitters are called, but I know your heart feels good too. Your body feels good and your heart, your soul feels fulfilled. So if you don't have a habit of service right now, then this is the day to start. One of the things that they teach, and I struggled for decades with depression, and in all depression recovery modes and methods, one of the things they talk about is go do something for somebody else. Go serve. Go be kind. Go open a door. Go visit a friend. Do something for someone else. Why? Because it creates those very transmitters that your head's missing that creates the feeling of unworthiness and tiredness and all the things that go with depression. And I'm, you know, completely familiar with that. So learning to serve is, you could view it as selfish. It gives you all kinds of goodies and good feelings and growth and excitement. So there's the power trio, and that's fierce life ownership. Don't give up the right to create your life, to circumstances, to laziness. Don't abdicate the throne of your kingdom. Why would you do that? Only if you've learned to. Only if you believe there's no other way and it won't matter anyway. That's learned helplessness, and it's a lie. It is a flat, bald-faced lie. You can create whatever you want. You got to pay the price. If I want to ride in the Tour de France, I got a lot of work to do. If I want to play the piano, I've done that work. If somebody else wants to play the piano that doesn't, they got to do the work. I heard a joke once or a story about a pianist who played some spectacular thing, and somebody came up to him afterwards and said, oh, that was magnificent. Oh, I'd give half my life to be able to play like you. And the pianist looked at him and said, I did. So when I say you can create anything you want, I'm not talking about Harry Potter, wave a wand, snap your fingers. I'm talking about the availability, the resources, and the opportunity to create whatever you want sitting there right in front of you right now. And it's only our blindness, your blindness or mine, our refusal to try, our unwillingness to go at it and keep going at it, our unwillingness to deal with setbacks. Those are the only things keeping us from having exactly what we want. Now, here's the second invitation. If you're sitting here thinking, I want that life of purpose, prosperity, and joy, I want to know how to create that. I can tell you, I can show you. I did it. I came from totally on the other side of the bridge. In fact, I wasn't even to the bridge, on the negative side, and I've been over the bridge, and I live 100% of the time in purpose, prosperity, and joy, and that's my mission, is to help 300 million people. If you want to talk and you want some help, go to KellenFlukigerMedia.com, use the contact link, and let's explore how I might help you, because that's my mission, 300 million of you, to step into your ultimate life. Now, I want to talk about my mission. It's very specific, 300 million. It's not random. The story about how I got there doesn't matter right now, but it got there not accidentally. It's not vague. I have a message and I have a method. The message is you own your life and you can create whatever you want. The method is the books I've written and the courses that I've created that mirror exactly what I did and are adaptable 100% to your circumstance, your life, and your situation. Because there's no one size fits all. I can't wear your shoes. You can't wear mine. Now, here is the next thing. I want you to help me. I'm inviting you to help me. Every single one of you who are hearing this, you can help me. You can like it. You can share it. You can invite someone who's got a story. You can invite yourself if you've got a story you want to share as a guest. You can amplify this message. You can get on board with yourself and say, hey, where am I settling? Where am I giving in to this addiction to mediocrity? Ask yourself that, because nobody's coming to do this for you. There ain't no cavalry coming over the hill. If you want joy all the time, you got to create a life that lets you have it. And that's done up here. It doesn't depend on the weather, on money, on circumstances. That external crap is temporary, and it doesn't determine your happiness. You can be happy starting today. And if you want to know how, get a hold of me. Okay, you can help me. I'm asking you to share, invite, amplify this message. Start living it in your own life. Be a product. You are never too little or too unimportant to make an impact. Like my friend says, you have an impact whether you want to or not, and we're never going to know till maybe later what the impact, the ripple effect that we had when we affected one person. You know, I was gone from Phoenix, the Phoenix area, for a long time. I lived there from 82 to 95, and I went back to Phoenix in 2007, so some 12, 13 years later. And I joined a choir, which is a professional choir, very large and very professional, et cetera, et cetera. And one night at rehearsal, I met this dude. And he came up to me and he said, are you Kellen? And I said, yeah. He said, I want to tell you, you changed my life. And he told me a story about something that happened 13 years ago, where I visited with him and his wife as part of the church that I belong to. I went to visit him, and we were talking about careers, and I said some things and encouraged him to do something, et cetera, et cetera. And he said, I took your advice. It created my career. It has changed my whole life. Well, that's him and his kids and on and on and on. You don't know. I didn't have any idea. We may never know the ripple effect, but you can have it. So if you're willing, I'm asking you to share and invite. If you want to help me reach 300 million people, move from addiction to mediocrity, learned helplessness, victim mindset, over to fierce life ownership, radical excellence, with a heart and a yearning to serve, share this. All right. There's a couple of hindrances that get in the way. One is a lack of discipline. Well, discipline sometimes for people is a dirty word. It feels like misery, somebody cracking a whip. It's not at all. If you're going to achieve anything, you need discipline, and discipline is just reminding yourself what's important. I want to go out to party, and I want to get a good grade on this test. Discipline is reminding yourself the party is going to be over, and the grade is going to last forever. It's going to impact my career and so forth. So I'm choosing the long one. I'm playing the long game. I'm not playing the short game. Discipline is, there's this food in front of you. It's not healthy. And the other choice is to skip it or have a very small piece so that you're not off your eating regimen and your exercise regimen. Why? Because honoring your body, the temple that is your body, is more important. That kind of thinking is discipline. It's not white knuckle anything. It's simply reminding yourself what's important. And the last thing, or the next to last thing I want to talk about is trust. Often when we start change in our lives, we get discouraged because we don't trust ourselves. We have one little failure, and then it's like, okay, forget it. Think about someone who drinks, and they quit drinking, and they have one little drink, and they're off the wagon, boom, they're drunk for a week. Or a food binge. Or you make a commitment to excellence, and then you kind of let it slip a little and a little and a little, and all of a sudden it's like, everything's sliding. And you don't feel good because you know you're letting it. All those kinds of things teach us not to trust ourselves. So let me tell you something I know about you. One, you're lovable. Two, I love you. Three, you're amazing. Four, you're divine. Five, you have the capability to create anything you want. I know that about you, whether I'm looking in your eyes or not. I know that. And so the invitation is for you to own that truth and do something with it. The truth of your own greatness, your own capability, your own gifts. All right, so the last thing I want to talk about is this movement. It's not mine. It's not my story, and I don't own this. It's ours. Your story of resilience, your story of growth, your story of overcoming, your story of powerful choices. I want to share your story. I want to hear it. KellenFlukigerMedia.com, use the contact form. I'd like to hear from you about your success, about your striving, about your goals. If you're willing to share and like and invite people, I'd like you to do that. And the way to get a hold of me is that same way, KellenFlukigerMedia.com, using the contact form. So remember, ask yourself, where are you settling for mediocrity? Where are you settling for way less than you're capable of having? Where are you just getting by? Where are you acting like you're helpless? I have no power. I have no ability. Oh, no. That's never true. It's rarely true that we can snap our fingers and cause a result to happen. But the idea that we can't do something or we can't make small daily progress is never true. Never true. And if you keep moving, you're going to get where you want to go. The only question that matters, there's always a road from where you are to where you want to get. The only question for all of us is, are we willing to walk the road? Or are we going to complain, oh, it's too steep, or there's some broken glass I got to crawl over? How bad do you want purpose, prosperity, and joy? How willing are you to say, I'm done accepting less? I'm done living at half speed. I'm done with tiny dreams, colorless vision, limited goals. I'm done with that. I'm living into the full stature of my divine capability. And you know, the most important thing, I don't know most, but one of the most important things for me in making this change in growth was to get myself a good coach. If you're not, and think about the Olympics, no Olympian and no musician ever got to the top of their game without one. So if you're serious about your growth, get the help you need. You're worth it. You're fabulous. You're spectacular. Go after it because you're worth it. Here is the final question for today, and that is this. What legacy are you going to leave? And this is not about having a building named after you or having a monument in the town square. This is going to be about what people feel when you leave. My mom passed away about a month ago, 3 weeks ago or something, and we had a funeral. And we went there, and when we buried her, I had the funeral. There were, I can't tell you how many people. And they came up to me as, and my brothers and sisters and said how much she meant to them because of what she did. It wasn't a lot of, oh, I'm sorry for your loss. Very little of that. It was how much she meant. And that was her legacy. No monuments, a legacy of love, a legacy of gratitude, a legacy of service. What are you and me? What are we going to leave behind? I'm going to reach 300 million people. I'm inviting you to help me. Will you do it? And I can make you one final promise, and that is if you dive into excellence and you commit to excellence and to service and to fierce life ownership, you're going to love yourself more than you ever have. You're going to be so excited to meet every day, and you're going to start tasting that good feeling and taste of living your ultimate life.
You're listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flukiger, only on LA Talk Radio.